League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Yes, local hero, it can only be that time again. You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with Matt Ketchell, a.k.a. Ketch from BBC Match of the Day magazine, Love Sport's very own Laurie Callis, and Charlotte Robson from the True Faith podcast. No Sean Wade this week. What can that mean for the team? We are tucking in to everything where the Magpies are concerned. We're going to be looking at that disappointing, frustrating result against Aston Villa on Monday night. Steve Bruce's return, well, it didn't go all that well, and the unbeaten streak for the Toon Army has come to an end. We're going to be doing something of a poll that Ketch has put out. Favourite goal celebration when you were there that you thought you was part of. Really excited to see what the team pick out from that one. Also, we're going to be talking to a team called Hamwell FC. If you haven't heard of them, you will have heard of them by the end of this hour. There is a big Newcastle connection there, so wait for that one. Then we will be looking towards the game on the weekend facing defending champions Man City. What a game we have for you on that one. Adam Waring, a reporter for Mancunian Matters, will be joining us. We have to start with the Aston Villa game. Laurie was desperate. He was looking at Love Sport Towers. He was looking for someone to go and watch the game with him. No one wanted to watch the game with him. You stuck it out. It wasn't the result you wanted, Laurie.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, people would have been glad that they weren't watching it. Yeah, it was just a bit of a frustrating game to watch because we weren't great at all. But obviously, after giving away that first free kick, then giving away the second free kick, you just think, oh, how basic is that just to give another sort of cynical foul in relatively similar position? And obviously, we conceded again. And in the second half, we were absolutely torrid, so... Yeah, that's basically what I've got to say about it.
Not much to say on it. Absolutely torrid. Ketch, off the back of the three-game unbeaten run and Newcastle just feeling that they were starting to find something, one step forward, two steps back. Obviously, the theme of the season so far, we've spoken about inconsistency. Just another non-performance on Monday night.
Yeah, when we win, we're good. When we're bad, we're really bad. And we were really bad. No one played well, and I include Dubravka in that. He made some good saves, but I'm disappointed.
Disagree.
I'm disappointed with him on the free kick. They've switched the angle, and I want to see him move across and give himself a chance to save it. He hasn't done that.
Yeah, so, but how much of that can you think? Do you think he can see from the ball? I don't think.
Well,
he
where's
can
he
see
looking?
It.
He should be looking at the ball.
Also, is he not setting the wall up?
Yeah, he's setting the wall. He's got it.
I refuse to accept.
If he wants to be considered one of the league's best goalkeepers, then he needs to. He's let himself down in that instance. Some great saves apart from that. But if he wants to be the best in the league, and I know he will want to be, he's got to do it better. So he's one player that annoyed me. Yedlin annoyed me. Lack of focus, silly free kicks, can't defend. Shelvey annoyed me. It was just a masterclass in walking slowly. And as soon as anyone gets in his face and puts pressure on him, he retreats. And at one stage, he was behind the back three because that's where it's easy. It's easy to get the ball there. So Shelvey, Yedlin and Dubravka, I wasn't happy with.
Yeah, wasn't happy with him. It feels strange after Shelvey and the players you mentioned did have good performances in those last few games. This one, really a non-starter. Charlotte, I've already got your thoughts on it here a little bit.
Sorry.
No, this is what we want on the show. It's your show, the fan show. You disagree with Ketch. How strongly do you disagree with him?
I can see what you're saying about the first goal. They did move. They tapped the ball, moved it along, and then like sent it straight past him. That is annoying. I think what's more annoying for me was Yedlin's push right outside the penalty area. That was just really stupid.
He's just not streetwise, is he, when it comes to things like that? He needs to be aware of where he is, his dangerous position.
Especially given how quick he is, he should be able to recover.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I was already a bit annoyed, and I have a real soft spot for Dubravka. I think he's an excellent goalkeeper.
Oh, he is.
And yeah, if you look at the saves that he did make, which you mentioned, Ketch, to be fair, I'll give you that.
Do you know what? I actually, that one with Wesley, I wouldn't give him that much credit for that. I think Wesley should have scored.
Wesley definitely should have scored.
Right at him.
Well, he didn't, though.
So. Yeah, but I don't know if that to Dubravka's credit necessarily or to...
I'm going to give that one to
Wesley's detriment.
Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, I agree with largely what Ketch said. I think Shelby... I don't think Shelby's the one to be wearing the captain's armband when we go down... When we sort of are on the back foot like that. I don't think he has the sort of... I don't know how to say it.
Like, it sends the wrong message to him. Yeah. Oh, it's all right, John Joe. We still value you. He needs to be doing more for us now rather than us going, here's the captain's armband. You're the best, John Joe. It's not helping him.
But I think his manner is such that when we're like 1 or 2 nil down, I don't think he galvanises the squad or can bring people together appropriately. I think he just gets in his own head and gets annoyed. So, yeah, I don't think he should have been the captain. So
the thing I think as well about that John Joe Shelby performance is that if we had somehow come back into the game and got a couple of goals, on the highlights, he would have been made to look really good. There's been plenty of times when you've watched the full game and thought, John Joe Shelby, yeah, he's played a couple of good passes, but actually, in the long term, he hasn't imposed himself on the game enough and he hasn't done enough. And I think had we somehow come back into that game, there could have been a couple of passes that he sprayed across field to Sam Maximan that would have got in there and it would have made it look like he was dictating play. And sometimes I think highlights make John Joe Shelby look like he's doing that when he's not always that sort of player.
Well, you mentioned ASM there, your star player. We do another show here on Love Sport. We do lots of shows. All the fan shows, they get a voice. They were obviously talking a little bit about the Newcastle game and I thought, let me play this to the team and this is what they had to say.
Of course it's that bad. We conceded 3 goals at home to Newcastle United at home. I don't know if either of you watched their game last night. What an atrocious football team they really are. And Aston Villa was 17th.
We made that St. Maximan look good.
Awful, wasn't he?
Terrible footballer.
That's what I'm saying.
But we made him look like Messi.
I wanted to play that. I think I got the reaction from the three of you listening.
That's what I said about us and Jack Grealish on Monday night. I was like, we're making him look like Messi.
Yeah. Well, when you put Maximan up against Zabaleta, what do you think is going to happen? He's going to be made a fool of, you, but he nearly retired. Mark Noble had to go off at half time because he couldn't keep up with the game. Pace frightens everyone, and it scared the life out of West Ham in that game. But yeah, I can understand West Ham fans not being very happy at the minute.
Yeah, I don't know about sour grapes because they can't buy a win in 7 games. But look, they're going to say their points in the game. I did defend ASM because I was a little bit surprised when they called it. They went on to say he was pants, absolutely pants. I think that's a little bit. It's not correct, is it?
No, Charlotte? It's not. And I also think that with ASM on Monday night, I mean, every time he got the ball, there were like 2 or 3 players on him. I think that you know, anyone just has to watch our last few games to look at, well, there's your pace, so put men on him when he gets the ball. But also our tactic seemed to be just try and get him the ball. Like just get it to him and he'll get it up the pitch, and that wasn't, yeah, it just wasn't good enough. There was no one around him apart from opposition players, so there was no opportunity for him to like get out and make the runs that he's been sort of making a name for himself with.
Weirdly, Laurie, that was the West Ham fans' view. On the Aston Villa fan show, which was straight after the game, they weren't giving any credit to themselves. They said, look, we don't think we were that good. We just think that Newcastle were that poor tonight. We don't want to take credit. Is this a worry that the Aston Villa fans weren't going, we were great, we dominated? They was like, Newcastle just really gave us the run of it. They did not make it hard for us whatsoever.
Well, to be fair, yeah, I think everyone's talking about how well Grealish played, but I think if Villa had really been at the races in that second half, they could have scored 5 or 6, to be honest, and potentially should have done. The number of times that they had us outnumbered on the break when we were trying fruitlessly to do anything at all in the second half. But yeah, I mean, the first half, they had two free kicks. That was it. They weren't great at all.
Silly free kicks that we gave away as well.
Yeah, well, obviously, we know we talked about the defensive foundation, giving away those silly mistakes there. Still, the non-scoring goals, Ketch, remains a big issue. Obviously, not scoring again. The striker's still yet to get off the mark, and now we're nearly into December.
Joe Linton has one, so...
All right, he has one. Excuse me, I was actually talking about Almiron and... Yeah, okay.
Set strikers, though.
Yeah. Oh, here he goes. Ketch, back me up, please.
Well, we need him to get more than one, Laurie. Yeah. And he scored 7. Everyone goes, oh, he's only scored 7 goals. He doesn't look like he's going to score 7 this season. And it is a worry. It's unsustainable. It's actually incredible they've managed to do it. How have they not managed to score? So it's the three of them. They're never in control of the attacks. They fly forward in different angles. There's a lack of support. The other when one's on the ball, the other two are just running down cul-de-sacs. Joe Linton's being asked to win headers, hold on to the ball, and then build play, link play. That's not what we've bought him for. We've bought him to be a number 9, and he's playing more as a number 10, coming deep. And he is a young lad who doesn't speak the language, and he's playing in a new league, the toughest league in the world. That's very difficult. And he's also playing alongside Almiron, who also doesn't speak much English and is also young, and St. Maximum, who's even younger. So, you know, it's not a good fit at all, and frankly, it's a worry, and there doesn't seem to be any cohesion going forward up front, and it's, I don't know really what he does next. It's big. I'm really interested to see the team against Man City, because there's some big decisions there. He could drop Joe Linton and put Gale in, but I'm not convinced Gale or Carroll have got 60 minutes in them. Gale, how much football has Gale played since May? Not a lot.
Yeah, he's not match fit at the minute. Is this a problem that we are now nearly in December, Charlotte, and we still don't know what type of performance we're going to get from Newcastle? We felt like we were getting there in the last few games. Now it feels like we've gone back to this. We just don't know what Newcastle are going to turn up.
Yeah, it felt like I was getting quite sort of, oh, okay, we're settling into a rhythm now. We've found a sort of squad that kind of works for us. And then it's just all up in the air again. Like, I don't know what to expect. I don't know how we're going to set up against Man City. I would probably not start Almiron and like focus on probably a back five just to be as defensive as possible.
Yeah, I really feel for Almiron in this, because when we signed him last season, Rafa signed him and Rafa looked at what we had, and he had Rondon and Perez, and he thought, who else would work alongside those three? And then we had a little triangle of strikers, and all of a sudden it worked, and he was causing chaos, creating space, and the other two profited off that. Those three worked together as a three. These three don't look like they're working together at the minute.
I agree with that, but I also just think his confidence is shot. He's also knackered. He's like not basically stopped playing football for like 18 months or something. He's every international break he's called up for Paraguay. He's, you know, I think he just really needs a break.
He came from the MLS where the seasons are different as well, and he's straight into Newcastle.
Do you think Almiron, and I'm not saying that I do think this, but I was just considering it before, given that Joe Linton's not firing and we don't necessarily have a centre forward who you'd be confident in putting in for a full game, do you think we could play Atsu, Almiron as a false nine, and ASM?
I don't mind that, you know, because that it's pace, isn't it? And pace terrifies anyone. Look at Man City when they lost to Liverpool. The pace scared life of them. Stones and Fernandinho, they're not going to like St. Maximum and Almiron running at them. So I actually, in a weird way, think we might do a bit better on Saturday, because City are going to be high, there's going to be space in behind, and we have got pace. They might not be able to finish, but they can get in behind. So, yeah, it's not a bad shout, actually.
Not a bad shout from Laurie there. Well, they are struggling with injuries at the back, Man City. Maybe a good time for Newcastle to be facing them. We're going to be talking to Adam Waring, reporter for Mancunian Matters, all about that game. But coming up next is your favourite goal celebration that you have loved as a Newcastle fan.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the strongest depth here we have on any fan show. It is Matt Ketchell, a.k.a. Ketch, from BBC Match of the Day magazine, Love Sport's very own legend, Laurie Callis, and Charlotte Robson from the True Faith podcast. The A-team is in the building. We were just talking about that disappointing result against Villa on Monday night. Steve Bruce's return wasn't a happy one, a 2-0 loss there. That streak comes to an end. Inconsistent performances, well, they are just hanging around Newcastle far too often this season. We're going to be talking a little bit about Hamwell FC in 15 minutes time, then looking at the game with Man City. But first, something with a little feature, a little special for you. Ketch, please, if you would introduce it.
Yeah, so recently I was invited to write an article for a football website called That's Liquid Football, a little fan site, and they've got this feature which is called Losing My Favourite Game, where you write about your most hurtful experience as a Newcastle fan. I have many. So it's really difficult to whittle down.
From 50.
Yeah, oh man, but the I could do a couple this season, to be honest. But this the one I picked was I went to the FA Cup semi-final in 2000. Newcastle played Chelsea and lost 2-1. And it was interesting. The worst I've ever felt walking out of a stadium was that defeat. But also within that game was the best goal celebration that I've ever been part of as a fan. Rob Lee equalised. We didn't even take the lead. It was an equaliser. and in Newcastle fan circles, it's often widely discussed as that was the best goal celebration, because I don't think we'd scored at Wembley since 1976. I think Alan Gowland scored. And it was a big thing. We'd played at Wembley in the 98 FA Cup final, the 99 FA Cup final. No goals lost. And then we'd actually scored at Wembley, and it was unbelievable. The celebration, like limbs before limbs existed, like I've never known anything like it. And my ankle was in a plaster. I'd injured my leg playing football, so it was a bizarre day. But what it was actual limbs, broken limbs. But why it was so good was because we were playing so well. We were on top of the game and we'd equalised, and it was like, we're going to go on and win this. We're going to play at Wembley. We were going to play Aston Villa at the last final at the old Wembley. We had a Geordie manager, Bobby Robson had just taken over, and we had a Geordie captain, and it was all falling into place. And then 5 minutes later, Gus Poyet scores and we lose 2-1. But the Rob Lee goal was fantastic, and I had loads of tweets saying that was the same. But then other people were saying that their Feyenoord was excellent. So my Feyenoord and Sunderland away, when Liam O'Brien scored free kicks, was some absolutely brilliant celebrations. But my mine was Rob Lee, and I'm interested to hear what others are.
Yeah, and there is still time for you to tell us ours. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Celebration you were almost involved with, part of, Laurie. What is yours?
Oh, you should have asked Charlotte first, because I think I'm going to nick hers. Cause...
Oh, right. No, don't you
Charlotte,
dare.
Right, Laurie, you can stand down in. Charlotte, right. What is yours? What is your favourite celebration?
I feel bad.
No, just go for it. You're going first.
Mine is Cheick Tiote's fourth goal against Arsenal, sorry, in 2011. That was just unbelievable. My dad almost killed me squeezing the air out of all my lungs, just the two of them. But yeah, it was just amazing. It was in the 93rd minute or four or something ridiculous like that. None of us at half time, I wanted to leave, and my dad said, "No, he's never left. He left a match early in 1989, and he'll never do it again because we won." And it was just unbelievable. Like, there was hardly anyone in the stands after half time. Everyone was like gone, or they were drinking inside and just watching it on the tellies. And then
Arsenal were 3-0 up after 11 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something ridiculous. Yeah. It was like, and it was just, and it was the same week that we'd sold Andy Carroll to Liverpool, and it was just like a bit of a rubbish like week, and then that happened, and it was just unbelievable. And we didn't even win the game; we only got a point from the game. But it was just,
we should have won the game. Niall Ranger missed a chance right at the end, which
Van Persie was through as well, so it could have gone. Could have gone south after coming
My
back.
My man.
Arsenal were good then as well, Charlie. Champions League.
Yeah.
Theo Walcott was still a prospect.
Laurie, you're going to have to come up with a second one.
Yeah, I will
come
up with another one. It's funny that Charlotte said she was going to leave, because I remember so vividly the guy in front of me and my dad, where our season ticket was called Colin. And he's one of them who always stands up and he's like, "Support your team, mate." You know, like, absolutely mental. And I remember him turning around and going, "Hey, I've had enough, young'un." And he walked out at half-time and he missed it. I couldn't believe it.
When did he walk out? 3-0 or...?
4-0 at half-time, yeah. And obviously all our four goals. I also feel bad for anyone who was at the other end, because obviously all eight goals were scored in the Gallagher.
Yeah.
But obviously I can't pick that, so...
That's a good stat, that, isn't it? Like, from a 4-4, all goals in one end as well.
Yeah. Do you know what? I thought of a few, because there's some ones that are like really good moments, but like not big games. Like, I remember Cisse scoring the last minute of like Andy Makakala 1-0 to put us through to the Europa League or something. You know, like, there's weird games like that when it feels really good and it's a night game and there's good atmosphere, but I don't know if you can pick that, because
we've had a couple of
tweets.
Yeah, go on, catch fire them.
So Mark 74 NUFC said, "Nobby Solano's winner in the 4-3 at Elland Road. I ended up three rows forward. I was so drunk I left the ground thinking we'd drawn 3-3. So imagine how much I'd have celebrated if I'd realised it was a winner. Didn't even know it was a winner." So that's his favourite. He didn't even realise it was a winner.
Excellent.
And then Ian Albright has said, "Liam O'Brien away to Blackburn in 1990. It was the worst match ever, but he scored in the last minute. We won 1-0, then the car broke down on the way home." So bittersweet memories. And then Andy, he's just said this one for me, and he's tweeted a link to Liam O'Brien's free kick away in the Roker Park in a famous yellow kit. That must have been some away end that day.
Some away end. Some of your favourite memories, some of your favourite celebrations. Well, talking of tweets, me and Laurie are going to do something very special. A new feature on the show. After a game, win, lose or draw, we are going to be taking some of your tweets about the game, your reactions, mean tweets if you were. This week's feature is on ASM. Just a quick disclaimer, we absolutely love him. He's a brilliant footballer. But this week's mean tweets edition is all about the main man himself.
This is why you're singing that.
Alan Saint-Maximin. What can I say about Alan Saint-Maximin other than that he's the French Demarai Gray? Bit harsh.
ASM is that 1 5-foot-2 player on pro clubs who hogs the ball, has 5-star skills, but does nothing with it and just simply runs out of play.
Sad, isn't it? This one's from at FPL Partridge. With some nifty footwork and a drop of the shoulder, Alan Saint-Maximin sends himself the wrong way.
Luke Taylor, I just want to apologise for jumping the gun and saying ASM is filling the Ben Arthur-shaped hole in my heart. Hatem, you'll never ever be replaced.
At Tony Standing, I've watched Newcastle a few times and Alan Saint-Maximin reminds me of a chef who has more style over substance. He looks really good, but doesn't really bring anything to the table.
Daniel Yates. ASM is the best worst footballer I think I've ever seen.
This one's from Sam Harpody, I think. Alan Saint-Maximin is me doing needless skill moves on FIFA only to take the ball out of play again and again and again.
This one's from at Vino1983. If ASM could finish, he would be worth 85 million. But he can't, so he's not. Those are your mean tweets this week. Thank you, Celine. Our heart will go on. That was the feature. Could be the last time we ever do that. Could be
I really feel like it's like with that music, it sounds like he's died. Yeah. We're just being horrible about him.
No, we're not. I
love him.
When
as well.
He grows, we're going to do more. We're going to do the whole team, the theme. But that was just this week. We need to do so many that then we can hear the kicking of the song and then we could really do the
get
worst
the key
one.
Change in there.
To be fair, it took me and Laurie quite a long time to find these because a lot of them had swear words. So to even find tweets that didn't involve swearing was quite a task in itself, but yeah
or memes just like photos, so you just can't use them.
I think it says a lot about English football fans that in most countries they would encourage the positivity and the attacking intent of Alan Saint-Maximin, but instead he just gets trolled on social media.
Yeah, why does this happen then? Because we listen to the West Ham clip and other ones, and I know that us on the Newcastle fan show, you three, you're such big fans of him. Why do we do this knee-jerk reaction catch to, you know, one bad game, one bad run, and we're like, ooh, he's not the player we thought he was?
I think it's just boredom, to be honest. They laugh. It's just funny. I mean, to be honest, I laughed out loud when he did the Maradona turn out and just he went out for a throw-in, and I thought, brilliant. Yeah. And I just thought, honestly, I thought, don't change, Alan. I went, I love that. I love that he's trying that in the corner. It's just gone out of play, and he just shrugged it off. That's the big thing. I don't want him to change. I want him to do more of that because we need a bit of entertainment being Newcastle fans.
Yeah. I don't think, Charlotte, you enjoyed that section because you are ASM's possibly biggest fan.
I just love him. And it's not fair. It's one rubbish game where like none of our players were particularly standouts.
That's
so.
What I'm saying. We made him look like Messi.
That's what we're standing
for. That is, yeah.
Well, we're not sure if it works, but you're going to love it because next week's edition of Mean Tweets is all about Sean Wade. So it's going to be a
not
good
brilliant.
One. Yeah.
Can we just say as well to West Ham, last season we made Felipe Anderson look good, and I don't think he's played a good game for about 3 years now. So
are we at war with the West Ham fans show now? Are we,
I think we are.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Charlotte. Wow. Charlotte has declared what Charlotte is. Well, to be fair, let's do it. Let's. You maybe do you want to reply? I could play it to them next week. Catch
nah,
Charlotte.
We've already had 3 points off them, so
yeah. I think we've said all we need to say.
It's not a fair fight. They don't have their own stadium, and we're one club city, and they're not even like the fifth club in their city. So,
like, what an atrocious football team they really are.
And talking about themselves. Terrible.
Too much. We are talking about Newcastle, but we're talking about another team that are based in London, but they're a set of Geordie fans. It is Hamwell FC. We're going to be talking all about that next.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered.
Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Ketch from BBC Match of the Day magazine, Love Sport's very own Laurie Callis, and Charlotte Robson from the True Faith podcast. Well, we were just talking a little bit about the Villa game and your favourite goal celebration that you were part of. Still to come, we're going to be talking about the City game on the weekend, Newcastle taking on the defending champions. But now something very exciting. Delighted to say Elsa has joined us on the phone. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time tonight. Elsa, I believe that Hamwell Town FC, they're a non-league club based in Northwest London, founded by Exile Tomb fans in 1920. You play in black and white. You nickname the Geordies. It's currently your centenary year in 2020. What else can you tell us?
Hi. Yeah, so that's exactly right. We also have a player called Andy O'Brien as well.
No way.
It's not the same one, is it?
Yeah, so we're a little club in West London. We're just off the A40, about 5 minutes from Wembley. You can see Wembley from our ground, so very close. Just right, we were formed in 1920 by a bunch of Geordies who were working on the railway, and we've kept the nickname, we've kept the stripes as well.
Amazing. Elsa, it's Ketch here, and I'm delighted to have discovered Hanwell FC playing in black and white. I don't live too far away from the ground in Northwest London, and you know, miss Newcastle, so it, the chance to come and watch a team in black and white, it really appeals to me. How's the season going? Are you winning? Because we could do with cheering up here, to be honest, after the Aston Villa game.
Yes, no, we're doing really well. We started well. We're currently top of the table.
Yes.
Oh, amazing. 12-point lead.
We lost our first game on Saturday of the season, but that was 12 games unbeaten. And we had a game last night, scored in the last minute to equalise. So that was a good draw against a tough Westfield side, who are like us, challenging for promotion as well. We're doing well. The boys are really, you know, got a good bunch of players this season, and it's just keeping hold of them.
And do they understand the heritage? Do they have any rituals? Is there any Newcastle themed songs that are sung at your ground on every other Saturday?
I'm not too sure about that. We have Sweet Caroline blaring out of the changing rooms every game.
We need a bit of local hero, I think.
Well, We Are the Geordies would be good.
Yeah.
We can come down and teach you if you like.
Of course, yes. You guys are all welcome.
Definitely. I think we'll have to do a day out at Hanwell Town.
We're going.
I think we're going to come. Elsa, what else can you tell us about the team, though? Obviously, you know, is there any more connections between the two clubs?
Well, we've been trying to get in contact with some people from Newcastle for a while.
We know a few people on the Newcastle United Supporters Trust. You know, maybe we could put you in with them. One person would love to have a long chat with you about it all. I know that for sure.
You can't subject her to Sean, that's not fair.
Yeah, it's very true, so I would never do that to you. Sorry, also, I interrupted you, excuse me.
No worries. We're just trying to build a bit of a bond with Newcastle. We had a guy come down who was a lovely guy. He was from the Supporters Trust and was just saying that he knows so many Geordies who are living in London. So we're just really trying to get some Geordies down to the ground who are maybe missing the black and white stripes but can get it in London. And we've really just been trying to get people in. I mean, our average attendance is probably about 150, 200, so it's quite a bit away from what you'd find at Newcastle. But we're just trying to appeal to everyone, really. We've quite lucky we've got a signed shirt sent down from us from... a guy I was in contact with at Newcastle. He was a lovely guy, but we're not having much luck getting in touch with some others from Newcastle.
They don't like communicating with the fans at the moment.
Do you know what?
No, I've heard that.
It's your 100th anniversary next year. Let's start a petition to get at least, you know, Newcastle send the under-23s down next summer. come and celebrate the 100th anniversary in style. I think that's the very least
that
they can do
amazing.
Next season.
How good would that be?
So let's get a little Twitter campaign
definitely.
Going.
And we can always talk about the results, you know. We'll do a little section on here, mention how the form's going on, if that helps as well. Laurie?
Also, I just wanted to, I was trying to work out, are you in roughly the eighth tier? I'm just trying to work out how many seasons realistically you could be in the same league as Sunderland if they're carrying on going down and yous go up.
So at the moment we're in step four of the pyramid. So basically, hopefully we're looking to get promoted this season to go into step three. Right. After that we'd be in the National League South, mm-hmm. then the National League. So, national. I think it's a conference.
Sunderland will be down there.
Yeah. So if you have two promotions
two.
And they have two relegations, yeah. Andy O'Brien would score in 2 years. That'd be amazing.
Elsa, you never know. You could. Are you in the same tier as Maldon and Tiptree?
I think we are. Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously they're on a brilliant FA Cup run.
Yeah,
well, this is it. You know, they find themselves in the second round of the FA Cup. They're in action on Friday night to Newport. Could then be in the third round. You know, you never know. We could see Newcastle versus Hanwell Town, a clash of the stripes.
There we go. What would we do? It'd be brilliant. Who would we be supporting?
We'd want football to win. Seriously, Elsa, I've got. I know a couple of people at the club. I'm not promising anything, but I can at least, you know, let's ask the question. Let's get people.
Let's get a few
exiled Geordies along to the ground. You're top of the league this season. So let's come and support you. Wear a bit of black and white and see what happens next summer, because it's a big year for you. 2020, the 100th anniversary. Your Geordies come to London and setting the team up.
It's huge. We've got a big centenary dinner where we're getting. Loads of old players down. We've got about 300 people coming.
How fun!
And, it's a great year, anyways. But the way our results are going, it's even better.
Oh, amazing, Elsa! Thank you so much for joining us tonight and telling us a little bit about the team. No, honestly, we'll definitely stay in touch and we'll get you on a later date. Elsa there from Hanwell Town FC. What a great story that was, Ketch. Thank you so much. It's crazy though. Started from Geordies, you know, exiled Newcastle fans. They play in black and white. It's incredible, really, isn't it?
I love that. I want to go along to the ground now and find out a bit more about the history. I wonder if there's any Geordies who've supported them all their lives, or if they've had any famous Geordie players. And I just love that they're playing black and white and call themselves the Geordies. And I love non-league football as it is.
Yeah.
And this is, and I live luckily in Northwest London, so I'm definitely going to get along. And come on, let's get the club involved.
I think there's room for a Hanwell Town fan show on Love Sport Radio.
We've got an Orient one. We've got a West Ham one. No, I tell you what, it worried me when she said they were top of the league. I'm just thinking they'll get 12 points clear and everyone will be shaking.
Charlotte, do you have room for a second team? Is there room? Is it now filled or do you already have one?
I guess I could probably make some space. There's a nice little bit of like sort of nostalgia and local spirit to that, which I really like. I particularly like that they all worked on the railways. It feels like they'd all be singing together and then going to the pitch and scoring. I don't have another team, do I? I don't think so. My mum and dad really like Barcelona, but I was saying this to Ketch last time. It was like, you're like a little kid who's like got a local team and then also a really like Messi.
Well, Match of the Day readers, the young people now, the 9-year-olds, they will have two teams normally, whoever Messi and Ronaldo are playing for, plus, you know, wherever they live, Brighton or whatever. So it's a common thing now.
So
Hanwell's for me is my new London team.
New London team. Yeah, I think we should all make a trip, the Newcastle fan show Christmas trip, to watch a Hanwell Town FC game. Well, that was Elsa. We are turning our attention to Newcastle United, though, the team that is number one in our hearts, and they play Man City, the defending champions, on the weekend, and Adam Waring will be joining us.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
What an atrocious football team they really are.
You are listening to the Newcastle fan show on Love.
That's
Sport.
Not our new thing.
It's not. It's definitely not. I shouldn't have clipped you up. It's my fault. the flow is completely gone. But we are here on the Newcastle fan show on Love Sport Radio. Ketch from BBC Match of the Day magazine, Love Sport's very own Laurie Callis, and Charlotte Robson from the True Faith podcast. Well, we're also joined by an extra in the studio now. Adam Waring, contributor to City Extra, has joined us to preview the game on the weekend, Newcastle versus Defenders.
defending champions Man City. Well, they were in action last night in the Champions League. 1-1 draw with Shakhtar Donetsk. They have qualified for the next stage of the Champions League knockout stages. So they're through, safely through. But it is Newcastle on the weekend. Adam, what are your thoughts ahead of this contest?
I think it's going to be an interesting one. I think it's going to be hard to break Newcastle down, considering the defeat that they took on Monday night. A team that loses like that is never going to be easy to break down the following game, as we found out in the past. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to it, people.
What is the chink in the armour, do you think, if Newcastle are to get anything from this? What do you think it might happen?
Corners. Corners, free kicks, anything in the air, basically. It's a shame. So a really big striker would be the chink in the armour. If you can manage to get in between our centre halves with a corner, a free kick, anything like that, we're really susceptible to conceding goals.
Do we have
in that respect? So
I think we've got a big striker.
Yeah, exactly. So go for it, play. I think that would be the way to get goals at the weekend. You're not going to be able to play through us as such. I know our defence isn't that strong, but you still fancy us, obviously with the ball on the floor. But we're just really, really dodgy in the air, particularly without Laporte in there. We don't really want to be playing Otamendi, even though he's great in the air, because he can't play with the ball at his feet. So it looks like it'll be Stones and Fernandinho. Neither are that commanding in the air. So yeah, we're really struggling in that respect. So it could be a high scoring game, considering our defence and Newcastle defence on Monday night. So we shall see.
We asked for a chink in the armour there, and you've basically slated your entire defence. But
it's easy to do at the minute.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, I wanted to ask you about Pep Guardiola at the FWA Awards the other night, when him and Klopp were talking, and Guardiola suggested that maybe they could swap the Champions League for the Premier League. I thought at the time that was not something he would say if he wasn't however many points behind he is in the title race.
Yeah.
Both from you as a fan's perspective, would you take that, and do you think that Guardiola actually means it?
I personally would always prefer to win the Premier League as a fan that has a season ticket and pays the money to go and watch the Premier League. I watch some European games, but I don't go to them all, and there's only a few a season. So as a fan, I always prioritise the Premier League. Pep, I reckon he would swap, and he would take the Champions League this season. He knows the monkey's on his back about getting that Champions League. People saying he can't do it without Messi, that type of stuff. City have never won it. The club want it, which means there'll be pressure for Pep to win it before he leaves, whenever that'll be. So it's certainly the club's priority, and I think it should be Pep's priority. But in terms of a fan, it's not mine. if that makes sense.
Hi, Adam, it's Charlotte.
Hiya.
I wondered if there's anything you've identified on our squad. I don't know how closely you've looked at ours, that you're worried about. I know we managed to beat you last season. Are we going to get under your skin because of that, or are we your bogey team now? I mean, probably not.
Last season was a weird one, because I remember the times that we lost last season, we always looked like we were going to win the game. I think we went 1-0 up in the game last season. Mm-hmm. And we looked pretty comfortable, and then it sort of collapsed as soon as you got an equaliser, and our heads went a little bit. So I don't think there was anything from last year's game that would suggest that the same thing was going to happen. But like I mentioned about the issue with us in the air, I think Bruce will know that, and I think he'll try and use that to his advantage. Whenever he can, he'll be putting the ball in the box. I think he believes that's his best chance of getting points out of the game. You know, more than me. But yeah, I can see that being the risk that we run by not having a strong enough defence to deal with those type of aerial situations.
Adam, Newcastle have a habit this season of beating the teams, the supposed bigger teams, beating Man United, beating Spurs, went away to West Ham, beat them, and, City have had their troubles. They lost to Norwich, they lost to Wolves at home. Could we see it on the cards where, it repeats for this weekend for Newcastle?
It could well do. City aren't the team that we were last season or the season before, so we're much more likely to to come unstuck against a team like this, and we came unstuck last season against Newcastle. So, yeah, there is every chance, and that's why we have to make sure that we are on top of our game every single time we come out to play, because you know what the Premier League is the way it is, isn't it? There's always chance for upset, and yeah, of course, it's possible. You know, don't write them off. City fans tend to be quite pessimistic as it is, so we don't really go out saying that we're going to batter teams and stuff, and we certainly don't think that about the weekend.
Adam, do you think you'll be busy in January? I'm sure you've got a few quid down the back of the sofa. Do you think you're going to defend him?
Pep's insisting that he won't, but I'd like to think that we will. We need a centre-half since summer, since Kompany left. So I think that's become blindingly obvious now that we need another centre-half. Whether there is one that we think is of value in January or whether we think the right player will be available, I'm not sure. He might try and hold off until the summer, but I think it might all depend on Guardiola. You know, there's rumours about whether he's going to stay past the end of the season, whether he's going to renew his contract. I think any player that would like to come would want assurances from Guardiola, and he's not giving that out at the minute. So it'd be quite interesting to see how the transfer window works out for us. I don't think we'll bring anyone in, because that's been the line that City have been putting out, but they could surprise us. Who knows?
I thought we could ask you about, obviously City have sold a stake in Citigroup which has valued the club at something like £4 billion today. And I just wanted to ask you about how, as a fan of one of the clubs, how your perception of that sort of model of football is working and it's sustainable. I know there's a lot of criticism a few years ago when, for example, Melbourne signed Aaron Moy and then you ended up signing him, not playing him and making a profit on him from Huddersfield. Do you think that sort of 10 years down the line, I know there's already discussions about FFP and how the City Group function. Do you think that long term it's going to be sustainable, and is that are other clubs going to follow? I know PSG have slightly similar thing on a smaller scale, but is that going to be football, do you think, from your point of view?
It could be. It can't get much bigger. It can get a bit bigger, but it can't get massive. Obviously, we know there's already restrictions on dual ownership in certain leagues and stuff. So there's a ceiling that we'll reach at some point, which will mean that it can only get as big as it is doing. I think we'll plan on bringing a couple more clubs in, but apart from that, I don't see us going any higher, and I don't think any other club will. I'm not sure many other teams in the world sort of have the ability to do what we've been doing over the last couple of seasons, you know, acquiring these teams. So whether they've got the capabilities that City hierarchy have, I'm not sure. Sustainability, I'm not sure about it either, because like you've been mentioning, there's some dodgy dealings going on in terms of transfers and profit making to get around foreign rules in terms of transfers between different teams, us making profits. Are the teams going to be happy about us making profits of the players that they're giving us? That type of thing. In terms of a scouting network, I think it's absolutely brilliant, but there's certainly flaws in there that we're trying to work out to try and hone it as best possible, which means to ensure that we get the best players to Manchester. But I'm not sure if all the other clubs that are in the group will be as happy as City are about the whole deal. So it's quite an interesting one. I'm not quite sure on it, actually. But we'll see. I guess it's something we'll look back on in 5 years' time and wonder and see if it's working out or not.
Well, back to footballing matters, Adam. What is your score prediction for the weekend then?
Ooh, you put me on the spot.
But bear in mind, this is the Newcastle fan show, so be careful.
Yeah. Newcastle are definitely going to score. I'll put that out there now, definitely. I'd say I'll go for 2-3, 2-3-1. I'll go 2-1. I think it's going to be an interesting game, but I certainly think Newcastle are going to score because our defence can't keep anyone out in a minute.
Adam, 2-1 there. Thanks for coming on. Adam Waring there, contributor to City Extra. Always good to hear what Adam has to say. He said, Newcastle are going to score. Will it be those strikers or not strikers, like Laurie said? It's going to be someone catch. How do you think the game will play out?
I don't know. I'm going to have a look at the odds on this because it'll be massive, won't it?
It'll be ridiculous.
The difference here will be they'll have all the possession and they'll probably be high up the pitch, which means space in behind. And if they play, like Adam said, if they play John Stones or Fernandinho, I would fancy Saint-Maximin and Almiron in a foot race with them. Mm. So there's going to be opportunity for us to score. So if our strikers can score, I think we can get something from this, you know.
Newcastle 14-1 to win the game.
I think it'll be, yeah, that's, I'd like it to be a bit longer than that, but it's not bad at all, you know.
It's ridiculous.
We beat them, exactly. We beat them last season, and when we're good, we're good. When we're bad, we're bad. It wouldn't surprise me if we got something from this game.
Yeah, Ketch is always quite optimistic. It wouldn't surprise him, Laurie, if they get something from that game. Do you agree? No.
I don't disagree, to be honest, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we got something from the game. I really can't see us winning it. I don't know, I just can't. Every single week I'm like, oh, ASM's going to score his first goal this week. We'll get a couple of goals.
Sometime.
Blah, blah, blah. Maybe. I honestly don't know, because I could see him playing, bringing Kyle Walker back in. No, he's not always been playing, but, you know, Pep Guardiola is one of the, obviously we know what a good coach he is, but he really like looks at the team he's playing and he'll like problem solve a particular. So if he sees Alan Saint-Maximin as our main threat, then it wouldn't surprise me if he's going to put Kyle Walker in. Not that I think Kyle Walker is that good a defender, but obviously he is rapid. So did Ketch go a score prediction? I can't remember.
He didn't. Not yet. We're going to come to it. The game's going to plan out at the minute.
Yeah, I think
getting ahead of yourself.
I think we'll be
Laurie.
Hard pushed to win at this point, but I'll reserve my final opinion until you ask me.
Okay, Charlotte, how do you think the game will play out? You're hearing Mix from Ketch and Laurie, and obviously Newcastle, as we just looked, 14-1 to win the game.
Yeah, that's not as bad as I thought it would be. What do I think? I think...
Might be 14-1.
Oh, God.
Come on, Charlotte. You're the optimist in the group.
Okay, so I think that Steve Bruce is going to look at how we set up last season under Rafa and do almost exactly the same thing.
Copy Rafa's homework.
Yeah, I basically think that he's going to do that. I think we're gonna go into it as defensively as possible and just try and keep Man City out. I don't think it's going to be a super exciting game, but I do think we might be able to get something from it. So
your score prediction, Charlotte, is?
Oh, I'm going to say 1-1.
1-1, Laurie. Yeah. I feel like you wanted to say something.
I was going to say something similar. No, I was just thinking it was funny, Charlotte saying Steve Bruce, Coffey and Rafa, because you can literally imagine him being like, we'll get a penalty, Matt Ritchie will score and we'll win that one. I'm feeling a draw as well, to be honest.
When is Ritchie back, by the way? What is the latest on Ritchie?
Oh, he had a complication with his ankle, yeah. Yeah, it was Hamza Choudhury did him in the AFL Cup.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
That's horrible. He's still having pain, basically, so I think you might need an operation.
So even longer on the
latest
table now?
Yeah, no return date.
Wow, okay. Is there a worry that we won't see him now for the rest of the season, Ketch?
I don't know about that yet. Dad, maybe not the rest of the year, but I'd like to think he'd be back in the new year, at least.
I think he's a mess. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, Laurie.
It's boring going for drawing it, but... I think we're going to lose 3-1.
Points are never drawing.
3-1.
I think we're going to lose 3-1. Why were you so shocked?
You were almost on a draw. You were like, no, I was going to say 1-1.
I think it's going to be a draw, 5-0.
I'll tell you what my thinking is. I can't see us scoring more than one. Yeah. I think City will concede, but also I think City, you know, are definitely going to score against us, and when they score, they normally score a couple, so 3-1.
Three,
we do
one.
Fall apart as well after.
And now you sound like you're changing your tune.
No, I'm sticking with 1-1.
Right, 1-1.
I think we'll go ahead, and then they'll. Equalize.
Oh, okay. That's similar to the Liverpool game, then.
Yeah.
I like that, Charlotte. Okay, Ketch, it all is down to you. You are essentially, you're the last prediction. You're getting the last say. Let's end it on a high. Come on.
Yeah, I'll go 2-1. We did them 2-1 last season.
Yeah.
They can be beaten. Wolves did them, Norris did them. You know, they've been worried, they've been rattled by a few teams, and I want to see Sean Longstaff back in there. I want to see Lejeune maybe return.
Can we see sweeping changes? Not sweeping changes, but
personnel, not system. I think it'll be a 5-4-1, and then we'll just try and counter attack. But I think Lejeune is our best defender, and I think I'd like to think he's back fit, and I'd like to see him back in the team. I want to see Sean Longstaff back in there, and maybe Gale.
Can we do West Ham score predictions?
Go on then.
They're playing Chelsea. I think they'll lose 9-0.
Oh. Ketch.
Yeah, look, no, I'll go 8-0. Lucky to get nil as well.
Charlotte, do you want to add in? Because it is a war of words now.
I think they're just going to walk off the pitch at half-time and refuse to come back.
Yeah, I agree. Well, not only is this the Newcastle fan show, this is the We Hate West Ham fan show right here, as it should be on Love Sport Radio. Well, I've been joined with Laurie Kalish, Charlotte Robson, and Matt Ketchell, a.k.a. Ketch from BBC Match of the Day magazine. You can see us, hear us at the same time next week, every Wednesday, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, the Newcastle fan show right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.